Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the backroads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going. Episode 55, Mega City. We'll get to the pottery in a moment. First, some observations about the prehistory of Ukraine's Black Sea region and its rich floodplains. This time and place is usually described in terms of aristocratic tribes, lavish tombs, and lots of bloodshed. But in the 1970s, Soviet archaeologists looked deeper. They found several so-called megacities, dating from 4,100 to 3,300 BCE, long before the era of more well-known city-states in Mesopotamia's Fertile Crescent. But Cold War politics led Western scholars to generally cold shoulder those new discoveries. Still, archaeologists unanimously agree, where elites exist, you know it. Palaces and temples, city walls, bling-encrusted tombs, etc. But here, there was no evidence of monumental buildings, no military fortifications, nor even of a centralized government. It seems a huge population peaceably self-governed for over a millennia. The cities were all close together, like 6 to 9 miles apart. They had extended trade networks and built with timber, but with evidently minimal environmental impact. Buildings were uniformly rectangular, around 16 feet by 32 feet. Neighborhood and city centers, where monumental or administrative buildings should be, were just open space. The largest city is today called Taljanki, sprawling out over 300 hectares, and with an estimated population at its height of well over 10,000 people. Larger than Uruk, Babylon, Ur, or Nineveh. And all this happened before the arrival of agriculture to the region. What? Then, in the middle of the 4th century BCE, these cities were mysteriously abandoned. And now, the pottery. Although building layouts indicated rigid social uniformity, a closer look inside showed an astonishing diversity. Each house had different variations of eating vessels, along with different ceramic items for domestic rituals, like model houses and tiny replicas of furniture and eating equipment, and lots of female figurines. Their pottery was among the finest in prehistory, with polychrome designs of mesmerizing intensity in a dazzling variety of forms. It was as if each neighborhood, almost each household, sported its own unique style. I can't quite wrap my head around all this. No rulers, no temples, no warfare, no agriculture. Just thousands of people simply living side by side for over 1,000 years. We don't even know their name. One of the few things we know for sure is that during all this time, they made incredibly diverse and beautiful pottery. I find this somehow extremely satisfying and also very humbling. I love my profession. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember what the legendary Bob Marley said: not all that glitters is gold, and half the story has never been told.